This episode of Super Boothers is brought to you by Photobooth International, home of the PBI Mirror 42, the largest screen mirror photo booth of its kind. Fully brandable, built in the USA, and comes with complete lifetime tech support. Visit photobooth.int.com for more details. Hello and welcome to Super Boothers. My name is Ryan.
And I'm Ismail.
Ismail just kind of lost it on Facebook right now. He, I think, started like some sort of like internal civil war.
All I did was ask a simple question. That's all I did.
He goes, this was the posting. It said, part-time Boothers, what's keeping you from making the leap to full-time, or do you prefer staying part-time? Full-time Boothers, how did you make the leap? Any advice to part-timers? What does life look like on the other side? He goes, this is a topic I want to talk about soon because it seems a lot of people struggle with it. Any feedback or input is appreciated. And then everybody lost it.
Yeah, this is something that, you know, as we do more events and start talking to more and more people, it just seems like it's something people struggle with. They're aspiring to go from part-time to full-time. All the part-timers are asking the full-timers, how'd you get there? How do you know when the right time is? And I knew we were looking for topics to talk about on upcoming episodes.
This is a kind of a perfect thing because Ismail is part-time and I am full-time.
Yes. I personally am part-time. I started the business with my brother. So I'm in more of a supporting role for strategy and business.
I am full-time because I like the money.
Yeah. I like money too, but...
It was really interesting to see a lot of the people's, I guess, responses. Yeah. I didn't realize there were as many part-time people as I thought. I always thought there were more full-time people, but apparently it's like 75-25.
It's way more part-timers, and I think we should discuss why we think that is. But I was asking that question, and the interesting thing that stood out to me was that people – not everyone seems to want to go full-time, which I thought was very interesting. So how can you get to be a full-time business? How can you get that successful if you don't even want to?
I don't want to. It just,
I mean, the
money just comes to me. I don't know how, but what I really appreciate is there are some people that generally want to get to that point and are like praying to quit their jobs. And I've seen it happen more times than not. I think the big thing is just making the leap and actually like going for it. I think a lot of people hesitate with the fear. Kelly Williams, who is on every single, she's mentioned on every single episode. She's like a Disney hidden Mickey. Like she just appears everywhere. She made a comment saying that it was the best decision that she's ever made. She's like, this is something that your future self will thank you for.
However, if, I don't know if you remember, which I thought was really interesting, she did not quit. She was let go. And I think that we talked about that
with
her.
That's a big distinction.
It's very interesting. So now on the other side, she actually posted something, I think, yesterday. And this has been on my mind a lot. So I noticed it where she's like, it's been 4 years since she went on her own. She's never worked harder, but she loves it. I asked her on the show, I wonder if she would have made that move on her own. And I think she had a very honest reply where she said she doesn't know if she would have had the courage.
It's really hard because whenever you have someone that makes that decision for you.
Yeah, you're forced into it.
Absolutely. And I think that's something that if you – it's kind of like whenever – I would know this. But whenever like, you know, two people are dating, you know, the girl gets pregnant – okay, you got to get your act together pretty quickly. Like I think whenever you're forced to do something like that, that's when everything becomes real.
Yeah, but so what do you think are the other reasons why, besides people that don't want to get to full-time, and maybe we can talk about why they wouldn't want to. Like I saw in the thread today, some people had some good reasons. Like the last comment I saw was a gentleman who said he started that business for his daughter to learn entrepreneurship.
Like a plaything?
Not a plaything, but you learn the skills of business and you make more money than you would at a part-time job. And to be honest, that's one of the main reasons I started it with my brother. So I appreciate that, and I get that. And some other people were saying, like one girl was a political employee, and her job is very volatile.
Oh, she was a staffer, yeah.
Yeah, so she loses her job when her party loses in the government. So she needs some kind of other income, which makes sense.
That's something that I think is really unique about our industry is that we have the ability to go into business rather quickly with low overhead. You can almost start this business with next to no money. You can start this business with one rental. That's really all it takes is one rental to pay for your equipment.
So what do you think are the main reasons people can't make the leap?
I think it's just responsibilities and jobs and kids and life. I mean, for me, it's easy. I'm by myself. I don't have any responsibilities except to get my nails done on a Monday. And that's about it.
Like living the life.
I have a haircut at 4, so we need to wrap this up. I have things to do. No, like that's the thing is I think life just kind of gets in the way. And I think it's the fear of the unknown is what makes people not take the leap.
This is a big topic. I think there's a lot of variables at play. One is – and this is kind of ties into – I have a lot of friends that I talk to about aspiring to be successful, make money. And some people have actually told me, you know what? I don't want to make that much money. I don't want to get that rich. I feel like you become a bad person. And my issue with that is you will never become rich because you have a psychological block to becoming rich. Why would you become rich if you think it's bad?
You know what? You make a very valid point. So I've kind of been on a workout kick lately, and it was very interesting to me how whenever I went in to talk to someone, and he goes, well, what are your goals? What do you want to accomplish? And I was like, well, you know, I really want to, you know, achieve X amount of body fat, X amount of weight, whatever. And he made a comment to me. He goes, well, what's the lowest you've ever been? I said, you know what? I've never been able to get under this amount. No matter how hard I've tried, no matter what I've done.
You hit the wall.
He goes, if you tell yourself you're not going to do that, you never will.
Yep.
Like if you have that mental block, you're just never going to accomplish it.
Yeah, so I see some of that in the comments that people are putting that they have a psychological block to making the leap and that prevents you, you know.
I have a comment. So I'm reading something right here and someone just said they are part-time. Why I don't make the full-time jump is my full-time job is secured with good benefits. Mm. And what makes me not jump into becoming full-time is just the uncertainty of a paycheck every month. This is the thing is whenever you stop treating the business as a hobby, that's the difference. I have goals for myself. I know I have X amount of dollars coming in by default every month. And that's just having a goal. And that's meeting that goal every month, just as you would a regular job.
You know, I appreciate those comments because I've been in the corporate world. I've worked in Wall Street. I've worked in financial positions. And they call this the golden handcuff syndrome. So it's something to keep in mind. People make such good salaries, such good benefits, your future 401k match, you got kids, you got mortgage. It's very hard to walk away. And I think a lot of people aspire to walk away, but they have an issue with when is the right time? When do you jump? Because that security is gone. Let's say you need to make, I don't know, $5,000 a month and you get to that point. You don't know if you're going to make $5,000 a month in a year.
This is the point is whenever you put those blocks on yourself, I'm going to make X amount of dollars this month. Versus you stop there. That's where the goal stops. Your goal should always be, you know, 40-50% of what you think you could do easily. Mm-hmm. Don't set a goal like, well, I know I can book $3,000. So my goal is going to be $3,000. Don't have it be $3,000. It needs to be $5,000 because you need to work to something. If it's easy, well, then it's not a goal.
So what about one individual wrote a comment that he's already doing well in his area? And he said, I think that he's doing like 60 events a year. He's in a smaller area. It's hard to do more than that. And he can't sustain a lifestyle on that income. So he has a block that he can't go full time. Even if he wanted to, he thinks it's impossible.
He put the little stigma on it. Well, and that's the thing is I would see that as a challenge. I would see that as, you know, you can put more upsells on something or you – one of our upcoming books is Ultimate Sales Machine. On there, it was – where you have the opportunity, you have a list of clients, you need to get those clients to buy more.
Yeah, and I think that there, I would view it as a challenge too, where you try to find other maybe business lines to add to your business or try to get more events in your area to actually use a booth, market it. So it just depends on a lot of it is your mindset. But you also have to look at the numbers and logic, right? So I had a friend recently who, you know, he just quit his job, very happy for him. And I remember just, I think it was like 4 months ago, he didn't think it was possible. So we sat down, and I think the first challenge I gave him was to run the numbers. A lot of people don't know their numbers, and this is something that we've talked about often. Not just the numbers on your expenses and how much money you're making per event, but what revenue you need to like get by on your living expenses. You find out the revenue you need, how much can you cut it, how many events do you need to do to cover that, and use that as a baseline. Because then when you look at, oh, I need to make $5,000 a month, how am I going to do that? Versus, hey, I just need 3.5 events per month. You know what you have to do to be able to make it on your own.
But don't say, I'm only going to book 3.5. You need to say, you know what, let's go in and book 10. This is a rookie mistake, is whenever I did bridal shows way back in the day, I was just lucky if someone was like, hey, will you do my wedding? I'd be like, yeah, sure, fantastic, great. Never knowing what the – I was happy with one. I would not go into that in this time and space. That's just not happening. If I go into a bridal show, I know I'm walking out of there with at least 10 pieces of business. If I did anything less, I did something wrong, something horribly wrong. Is you are setting yourself up for – you're just happy with one. Okay, well, it was successful because I booked one. One doesn't cover your expenses. One doesn't pay bills. One doesn't send your kid to private school. One, you know, it just doesn't do that. So you just need to like take whatever it is that you think you can book and just multiply it by whatever number would challenge you.
There's so many variables that touch into this. We're going to have to like splinter off into a lot of different episodes. But I feel the other thing is that, you know, how are you going to get into a full-time business if you don't treat your business like a full-time business? A lot of people think, oh, it's just part-time. It's on the side. And then that affects a lot of the way they handle their business. They don't have systems in place. They don't want to pay $10 a month for some software that can help them run their business more effectively.
Wink, wink.
Well, yeah. So there's a lot of things like that that come into play. Or, you know, they don't pick up the phone because they'll just get to it later. I think the mindset is critical. If you really want to get your business to be a full-time business, a full-time income, you have to start acting like it and wake up every morning saying to yourself, this is a full-time business. That's the only way you'll get there.
So what are some things, some actionable items that someone can do to make the change and set the groundwork for becoming part-time to full-time?
I'll reiterate again, run your numbers. Run your numbers, scrub your numbers, figure out what you need to make to pay your expenses. That shouldn't be your goal, but you need to have an understanding of your profit margins, how much you make per event, how many events can you book, what's the cost of acquiring a customer, and get those numbers all down. And if you don't, you have to do that first before you move on to anything else. If you don't know your numbers, you can't become successful, even as a part-time business. There's people literally out there losing money per event, losing money. They go work and they lose money.
They do?
Because they don't know the numbers.
Why?
They think they're making this much money, but they don't know their expenses.
That's actually really hard to do. So this is a perfect thing that we have on here. So on the website, and we'll put it in the show notes as well, we have a costing sheet to help you out with this. So the costing sheet is where you put it. You do it per event. And my accountant made me do this for every single event that I ever had when I first got started. You take your printing supplies, how much you spend on props, how much you spent on the camera, how much you spend on whatever. Any consumables that you have go into that little spreadsheet. Then you put what you charge the client. It pops out how many number of hours did it take for you to talk to the client and service the event and come up with, you know, a layout and do all the graphic work. How much time did it take for you to send someone out to go, you know, get ink and paper? How much time did it take to clean out the booth from the last time? How long are you having someone pull and deliver and set up, do the event, break down, come back to the office, drop everything off? How long does all that take? That needs to also have an hourly attached to it. So whenever you have those numbers, you're able to come out with a profit margin. So check out in the show notes. It is our costing sheet. It's amazing. It will help you figure out how much money you're actually making, because this is something that people really don't know.
Yeah, do yourself a favor and definitely get on that. I just want to reiterate to also combine that analysis with your personal expenses so that you know what you need to quit. And if it's really just a matter of escaping the 9-to-5, if that's your real goal, one thing I saw someone say was that he had a photo booth business and he also had a side gig that gave him a good hourly rate. So that you can have multiple streams of income just to get you out, free up your time so that you can focus more on growing your photo booth business. I know a lot of people say that they don't have time because of their job. And I definitely, you know, sympathize with that. But you have to find ways to free up your time.
Thank you so much for joining us on this episode. We love your questions. That is the best part of what we do, is get to hear from you, our listeners. Our show is only as good as the questions we get. This is your chance to be on Super Boothers. Please submit your questions online. You can do that at superboothers.com. Also, we have our new Super Boothers merchandise available. We have tees, totes, coffee mugs, hats. Ladies, we also have special tees for you. That is available at superboothers.com/shop. Thanks so much for listening, guys. We'll see you next week.